And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. You know, did I say yesterday was Friday? I hope I didn't. You know, folks, sometimes the days just kind of rush by, but today is actually Friday. Today is actually the end of the week. I think I might have been having a discussion with some people on prayer earlier today, and I got to wondering. I said, you know, yesterday kind of felt like Friday for a while. You ever have those days where, you know, it feels like, because of the particular stuff that you might be doing, you feel it feels like Saturday and actually it's Friday, or, you know, it feels like Sunday and actually it's Saturday. This is actually Friday, folks. So for those of you who have the weekend to relax and take it easy, God bless you. Take advantage of it, okay? Enjoy yourselves. Spend some time with family and go to church, of course, and get a good word. Get a good word. You know, one word from God can change your life forever. Wow. I know what the Lord has done for me through his word. You know, there's an old song that says, what he's done for me, what he's done for me. I can't forget what the good Lord has done for me. I once was blind, but now I see. Praise God for what he's done for me. You know, God's word really is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So get into a good church, get a good word. For those of you who live in the Virginia area, who are within traveling distance of me, I will be preaching this Sunday at my own church at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning at 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, Virginia. And by the way, you can also hear me at 7. No, you know what? I'm not going to give the time because I might mess it up. But you should be able to go to our website. I have a preaching and teaching program on AFR on Sundays. It's a little different than this. This is call and talk. But there it is, the excerpts from my sermon. So you'll get to hear me as a preacher. Now, some of you may be thinking, Bishop Jackson, we hear you as a preacher every day. Because you know, because it doesn't take long for you to go to preaching. But that's not what this program is actually all about, although everything we do on American Family Radio is about Jesus Christ, everything we do. You know, I got so much preliminary stuff. And by the way, we're going to do open lines today. I'm going to try to get to the calls as soon as possible. But, you know, if you watch the news and you watch the commentators, it really gives you an appreciation for AFR. Because, you know, I heard Brett Baer, somebody on Fox, who I've over the years, I've watched him, and I always thought he kind of leaned conservative, but tried to play it straight. And he was asking a question of, who was he talking to? He was talking to one of the, it'll come to me, but he was talking to somebody. And so he said, he was talking to Trey Gowdy. He was talking to Trey Gowdy. And he said to Trey Gowdy, after Trey Gowdy explained that what he thought President Trump did in that call with Zelensky was perfectly okay. And he says, but do you think it's okay to dig up dirt on your political opponent? And Trey Gowdy, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but Trey Gowdy says, well, dirt is your word. He said, that's a negative word that you're choosing to use. But if people are engaged in corruption and you are asking for information or for an investigation to find out about that corruption, that's not digging up dirt. And I just thought, man, the fact that he would ask the question that way shows his bias. Well, the only thing we're biased here on American Family Radio, we're biased for God. Oh, yes. And yes, we're biased for the truth, therefore. And we don't care which way it cuts. We don't care whether it ultimately hurts a Republican or hurts a Democrat or encourages a Republican or encourages a Democrat. Probably unlikely that it's going to encourage much of these Democrats today, because they're just talking today about the fact that there are no more pro-life Democrats. Not really. There are no more. There used to be pro-life Democrats. That's over. They're gone. Even Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, he's not saying much about life these days. It's really a sad situation. It's become such a pro-death party that if you are pro-life, you are not welcome. You are persona non grata. So thank God for American Family Radio, folks, where you get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And listen, I am elated today that President Trump took the historic step of actually attending the March for Life and speaking at the March for Life. God bless him for doing that. I think it lifts up that issue. And I've got a few notes of the things that President Trump had to say, which I just thought were powerful. He didn't speak that long. Only spoke, I think, about 15 minutes, maybe 20. But one of the things he said early in his speech was, every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and sanctity of every human life. Wow. I love it, folks. You know, these people can say what they want to say about the morality of President Trump, but I'd put President Trump up against these moral relativists on the left any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Because I believe that this president has grown. And to speak as eloquently and as powerfully and as passionately as he speaks, it tells you all, as far as I'm concerned, tells you all you need to know about his character. We know that not a single one of us on this earth is perfect, not one. The only perfect person who's ever touched feet on earthly soil is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all. No more. Not you, not me, not President Trump. And certainly not these leftists who want to make themselves some sort of paragons of virtue and condemn him as the paradigm of immorality. I mean, it's preposterous. He also went, but President Trump also went on to say, when we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. Wow. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. Mr. President, it could not be more eloquently said. And you know what? While he's giving this powerful speech defending the rights of the most innocent among us to live, Bernie Sanders is tweeting out, abortion is health care. That's his contribution to the discussion. Abortion is health care, which is a lie. Abortion is not health care. Abortion is baby killing. Now, let's just be frank about it. It is not health care. No woman goes to an abortion clinic because she's concerned about her health issues. She goes to an abortion clinic because she wants to get rid of her baby. I mean, folks, the contemptible lies that the left has bought into and tries to propagate are damnable. I mean, they're just hellish, despicable. And sadly, people who don't know God will buy into this nonsense and become a part of what I consider to be a mass psychosis, a mass deception in our country among many. And then the president went on to say this also. Every person is worth protecting. Every human soul, born and unborn, is divine, and every human life is made in the holy image of Almighty God. Wow. Man, folks, I tell you, I'm overwhelmed that we have a president who speaks this way and takes this kind of stand. We need to pray for him, because you know what he said before he got off the stage? They're coming after me because I'm fighting for you. How true. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Occasionally, I use the phrase politics stops at the water's edge when talking on radio. I really didn't know the full history of the phrase until reading an editorial by former Senator Joe Lieberman. After World War II, Senator Arthur Vandenberg, a Michigan Republican who was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, formed a bipartisan partnership with President Harry Truman. He did so to help secure the post-war peace and strengthen the country's position in the Cold War. When asked why he worked so closely with a Democratic president, he replied, "Politics stops at the water's edge." Joe Lieberman provided this history lesson for some of his fellow Democrats who simply would not acknowledge that taking out Qasem Soleimani was in our best interest and made Americans safer. He felt this action by the president deserved bipartisan support rather than the negative reactions promoted by his fellow Democrats. He reminds them that this terrorist leader created, supported, and directed a network of terrorist organizations that spread havoc in the Middle East. He oversaw various camps with the elite Quds Force fighters and Iraqi militias. They were responsible for the deaths of more than 600 American soldiers. He also questions the claim by some Democrats that the president has no authority to order this attack without congressional approval. He said such a criticism was constitutionally untenable and practically senseless. The authority to act is inherent in the powers granted to the president. He reminds them that the previous president ordered drone strikes on dangerous terrorist leaders, including one that was born in the U.S. I'm grateful that he was encouraging his fellow Democrats to leave politics at the water's edge and stand together against Iran and terrorist leaders. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious. What is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. The sham impeachment of Donald Trump is boring everybody to tears, including the senators. Schiff does have some fans. You'll hear their voices. Al Gore gets hysterical over global warming. Liz Warren is confronted on her plan for all of us to pay off everybody else's student loans. And we'll hear from someone who was at the March for Life today, next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, we're back. And I really do want to hear from you all today. It's Friday, and we want to get as many calls in as we can. The number is 888-589-8840. And maybe we can actually get through every call that comes in. As you all know, I often end up leaving callers on the line because I just can't get to you, because sometimes I'm late in getting to the lines as I get through the topics that I have to deal with. So today, I want to just hit a couple of highlights and come right to you. The number is 888-589-8840. First thing is, in addition to, you want to comment on the life issue, which of course is very much on the table. Did you know that the president is taking steps to eliminate birth tourism? Because you all realize, don't you? And look, folks. Our founding fathers never intended, I think the 13th Amendment, never intended the 13th Amendment to mean that anybody who lands in America under any circumstances and has a child here, that child automatically becomes a citizen. That was never what the 13th Amendment purported to do. Its purpose was to settle once and for all the question whether the Africans who were brought here first as indentured servants and then ultimately as perpetual slaves were also citizens of the United States of America. And our founding fathers answered that question, and those alive at the time 13th Amendment was passed, I should say, And it wasn't the founding fathers. This was far after their time. But nevertheless, the question was definitively answered. Yes, they are citizens. So that was not intended to mean if you manage to sneak across the border, if you come here on vacation, if you happen to be here on some sort of lark and you have a baby, the baby's a citizen. That's just common sense. It's just common sense. But of course, the left thinks that the people who come here under those circumstances are more likely to be with them and more likely to vote for them. And therefore, they don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about our borders. They don't care about the integrity of our sovereignty. All they care about is power. Well, the president's trying to do something about that. And I'll tell you something, folks. I know here again, this is not, people would not find this to be orthodoxy as for an American of African descent. But as far as I'm concerned, if you are not as a permanent resident here, and maybe even that, but if you're not a permanent resident here, you're visiting, you're coming through, you come across the border illegally, your child is not a citizen. Come on. Your child is not a citizen. That to me is that's not even a hard case. And isn't it interesting how the left wants to make the Constitution a living document and reinterpret it and misinterpret it and do everything they want to do to twist it? But all of a sudden, when it comes to this provision about born in the United States, suddenly that's to be taken very, very literally, not in the context of its times at all, but very, very literally, so that any and every person who wanders across our border and has a child, that child becomes an American citizen. And notice, we do make an exception for diplomats. Notice, you can, if you're a diplomat and you're living in this country and you have a child while you're in this country, that child's not a citizen. So why do we make that exception? If the Constitution is so clear, because we know that that's not what the Constitution intended at all. So thank God the president's addressing that. Let's see. Oh, and I'm pleased that some of these moderate Republicans finally are waking up, and Jerry Nadler helped wake them up, because Jerry Nadler basically called any senator who voted to not have additional witnesses is engaged in a cover-up. And apparently Susan Collins and Murkowski and whoever the others are, I don't know whether Romney did, but they took great umbrage at that. Well, you know what these Republican moderates are going to learn? They hate you just as much as they hate the conservatives. You're just a pawn for them. And so when they can use you, they will. And once they've used you, they will discard you like a piece of trash. I'm not calling them a piece of trash, folks. I'm simply saying that that's how the Democrats will treat them. They will discard them like a piece of trash. So this stuff of trying to placate these leftists and trying to, we want to work across the aisle and all of that. When you reach across the aisle, you know what they do? They cut off your arm. Forgive that rather graphic metaphor, but you all understand what I mean. I don't mean that literally, of course. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. I want to get to your calls early, and so let's get started with Clara in Texas. Clara, welcome. Clara, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to get a thank you for letting me be talk on the radio, and thank you for having the courage to what you do every single day. And I'm an adopted citizen to this wonderful country. My parents brought me here legally, and I have had a wonderful life, and it hurts my heart to see all of these people breaking the law, like Pelosi and Schiff, whatever his name, and nothing happens to them. How can we deter the breaking of law when there's no consequences? If there's not a ticket when you speed, everybody's going to speed. People are going to get hurt. When are we going to start punishing Clinton, the Obamas? We have to have consequences to bad actions, or they're never going to stop.
Amen, Clara. You're talking about the rule of law, and you're absolutely right. If the rule of law doesn't apply to certain people because it's not politically expedient, before long it breaks down and nobody is protected. Nobody is safe. So thank you for the call, Claire. You're absolutely right. And I'm glad to hear you, Claire, express that. Because what the left tries to do is say, oh, you're not in favor of illegal immigration and illegal immigrants. Oh, you're a racist. You're anti-Hispanic. And they know that's all a lie. Because you all realize that one of the people who was planning to try to foment some trouble, according to reports I've read, was an illegal immigrant from Canada. And he was a person of European descent. I don't care where they've come from. Canada, South America, Central America, Africa, Eastern Europe or Western Europe. I don't care. I don't care where they come from. I want people to come legally, period. And all this stuff of trying to reduce that to a matter, well, you're racist. It's just, it's you know what? It's beneath contempt. And what it, to me, is simply the last refuge of the corrupt scoundrel who wants to smear you because they don't have any substantive argument or basis for what they're doing other than their own insatiable thirst for power. Okay, let's thank you, Claire, for the call. Let's go to, I think that's Gene in Indiana. Gene, welcome.
Hi, this is Gene. Nice to hear you. I just want to make a comment and maybe you...
Oh, Jeannie, are we losing you? I think we just lost you, Jeannie. I think we had a signal problem with you. And I'm not sure where you were going with that. So, Jeannie, maybe if you call back when you got a little bit better signal, I assume you might have been on a cell phone. Call back when you get when you've gotten a little bit better signal, and we'll be happy to put you back on. Yeah, folks, look, I see from the comments where you might have been going. Jeannie might have been talking about the fact that Republicans are foolish to believe that the left is going to in any way be fair. And one would think that by now they would have awakened to that truth. Let's see if we can get, we have time to get Marcy on from Texas. Marcy, welcome. Marcy, you're on.
Yes, I was wanting to bring forth the fact that when a United States citizen has a baby in the United States, they are a United States citizen and should not be aborted. That would be a wrongful death, and I think anybody should be able to file a wrongful death suit against the United States for aborting a United States citizen. They try to abort, you know, a child and it's born alive, it is a United States citizen entitled to all the rights of the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No mother, no doctor has the right to determine let it die.
Amen, Marcy. And we've got this guy here in Virginia, and they've got another one in New York, who actually believes that if you intend to abort a baby and the baby is born alive, you can still let it die, which is really active killing. I mean, let's face it. If a baby is born alive and you say, well, we will simply let the baby die, you are killing that baby. Let's not mince words about it. You're killing it just as much as shooting it with saline solution or stabbing it with the tools that they use. When they pull apart in late-term abortions, they pull the body apart and pull the body out of the mother's womb, uterus, piece by piece. I mean, this stuff is abominable, folks. And so you're right. At what point, with knowing that a baby feels pain, I think we've established about 20 weeks a baby feels pain, you can see a baby trying to get away from uncomfortable circumstances very early on. A heartbeat within, literally, within I think a couple weeks. So what is this stuff? Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There seems to be a vast swing toward the letter of the law and away from the spirit of law in our society. People are more intent toward making sure that the law has been met legally than they are if the law has been met morally. I guess the deciding factor is that if one meets the law legally, then he cannot be punished. While failing to meet the law morally doesn't bring court action. A pretty good illustration of this happened in Memphis, Tennessee some time ago. Willie Burton left home one morning to see an old, dirty, worn-out 1958 Dodge parked in front of his house. When he returned home from work late that evening, he noticed that the car was still there. And because it was nearly blocking his driveway, Mr. Burton called police. The police told Mr. Burton that according to law, it was not sitting near enough to his driveway for them to ticket it. Mr. Burton then asked the police to move the car because he was afraid one of his two children might dart from behind the car and be struck by another automobile. But he was told by police that, according to the law, the car had to sit there for 5 days before it could be towed away. Mr. Burton was certain that the car had been abandoned, but he could not get it moved because of legal technicalities. The law set up to deal with the problem made the problem impossible to deal with. You know, there are several things like that in our world. Take the church, for instance. It's very easy to become a member of most local churches. But because of technicalities set up to protect one's relationship with the church, it's nearly impossible to keep an honest membership of the role. Most rules concerning membership in the church are set up to protect the membership and to make it meaningful. However, we have completely forgotten the spirit of those rules and have taken them legally. So if a person's name is on the church roll, he is legally a member of the church, even if he hasn't been in 20 years or given a dime during that time. The spirit of the rule, that the member be an asset to the church and to himself, is never taken into consideration. Only the legality of the rule. And legally, they're still members, but morally and spiritually, they're not. You know, this type of dealing with things has a very deadening effect on people. It can destroy the very thing we set out to protect. If you don't believe it, ask Willie Burton. The car sat in front of his house for 5 days, like the law said. But on the third day, Lisa Gail Burton, age 4, darted out from the car and was struck by another automobile. She was pronounced dead at the hospital. More important than the letter of the law is the spirit of the law, and the method in which we approach it often is a matter of life and death, spiritually as well as physically.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Wow, folks, I just talked about producer Randy, and Randy related a picture he had seen of a partial birth abortion in which the child had defensive hand wounds. In other words, the child trying to fight off its attacker. And you can see, I've seen film of babies trying to pull back when the instruments of their death begin to puncture the mother's uterus to try to get at the baby and destroy the baby's life. I mean, folks, this stuff is horrendous. It's unthinkable that people have convinced themselves that somehow they are on some kind of moral high ground to kill these poor babies, these innocent babies. And by the way, I just double checked. A baby can feel pain at least 5.5 weeks. 5.5 weeks. I'm sorry, 5.5 weeks to a heartbeat. Heartbeat in 5.5 weeks. Pain no later than 8 weeks. 8 weeks and the child can begin to feel pain. The neural circuitry, according to physicians, the neural circuitry of a child is sufficient to feel pain at 8 weeks. Now, folks, it's a person in that woman's womb. It's a person. It's not a blob. It's not a mass of tissue. It's not a fetus. It is a person. Just like you and I were once at that development in our personhood. Now, did we have the maturity, the wisdom, the abilities that we have now? No, but we didn't have it when we were babies either. We didn't have it when we were infants. When we first came out of our mother's wombs, we couldn't talk. So what we should could, well, what do you do? Just get rid of them because they're worthless? I mean, folks, this stuff is just, it's horrendous. It's horrendous, and I'll tell you, you know, Thomas Jefferson once said about slavery. He said, I forget the exact word that he used, but something to this effect. He said, I shudder for my country when I think that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. And, you know, I can say the same thing about this abortion holocaust, this abortion debacle. Debacle is too light a word. Holocaust may people object to because of its relationship to what Hitler tried to do to the Jews. But you understand my point. I'm not trying to denigrate that experience, but I think, folks, in many ways, this is as bad or worse because the numbers are so much greater and the heartlessness, in my view, is just as great. Now, having said that, I'm really led of the Holy Spirit to say this. If you are listening to me right now and you're one of those people who's had an abortion, one of those women who's had an abortion, or you're a man listening and you once in some way encouraged, became a complicit in an abortion, or you know someone who had an abortion, someone that you love, someone you care about, who you know is either hurting or angry or bitter, and they've got a lot of unresolved conflict, because I'm convinced of this, folks, that abortion leads to a lot of unresolved conflict within a woman's heart. And I think within a man's heart, too, if that man it has any heart at all. I mean, some people allow their consciences to be so hardened that you can't tell. But I think it lurks like a ticking time bomb when we are responsible for the deaths of our own children. But here's what I want to say. The forgiveness of God has no limit. That God can forgive and restore and heal and make whole and give these people a brand new lease on life. You know, we talk about abortion because of its stark, ugly reality in such ugly terms that people may interpret that as hatred for the women who, in my view, are victims of abortion because they're being encouraged by their boyfriends. Sometimes women are being encouraged by their parents, sadly. Sometimes they're being encouraged by a husband. Sometimes they're being encouraged by medical professionals. Yeah. Kill your baby. No problem. This is the right thing to do. And they'll certainly be encouraged to do that by Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood has become a multi-billion dollar industry killing babies. They are going to spend $47 million $47 million in 2020 to help defeat President Donald Trump. Where do you think that money comes from? Every dime of it is blood money. Every dime of it is blood money. On the bodies, the discarded bodies of innocent unborn babies. And they're going to use that money for their own political purpose so that they can keep making more money and keep killing more babies. So folks, this stuff is has got to stop. But for the women who've been caught up in that, we need to love on them and forgive them and let them know that God can forgive them and will forgive them if they seek his forgiveness and repent, and God can restore their lives. He won't hold it against them, but I guarantee you, women without the love of God and the healing of God will hold it against themselves. And there's only one physician who can heal them of that, and it's not some abortion doctor. It's Dr. Jesus. He said, "I've come that you might have life, not death, life to the full until it overflows." The number is 888-589-8840. You can comment on this, comment on impeachment, comment on the president's new policies with regard to these tourism births in our country where people are claiming citizenship, or anything else that you want to talk about is on the table today. Let's go to Bart in Mississippi. Bart, welcome. Bart, you are on the air.
Hello. It's the second time to talk to you, and and it's quite an honor that I got through again. But
well, thank you, Bart.
I think the defense team for Trump needs to use the accusation that they might be involved in a cover-up to their advantage. They ought to agree to it.
In what way? Okay, explain that.
Well, they said, yeah, we are trying to do a cover-up. You Democrats did such a terrible job of your investigation that you don't have a case, and you're practically an embarrassment to the Congress, that we just don't need this information to get out how bad that of a job you've done. So, yeah, we want to cover that up and give you a chance to regroup yourselves. Maybe you can find a possibility of redemption.
Okay. All right, Bart. I'm not sure I would give them even that much, but I get the point. Listen, thanks for the call, Bart. We appreciate it. Keep calling. Glad to hear from you. Let's go to Al in Mississippi. Al, welcome.
Hello?
Al, you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Just calling to let you know that I heard a story one time where this lady was asking, why don't you have a doctor that can cure cancer? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? And God told her, he said, I did do that, but he was aborted.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's one of the, it's an immeasurable tragedy, isn't it, Al? Because look, any one of us with all that we brought, that all that life has given us, you know, husbands, wives, children, friends, jobs, whatever it is, whatever we've contributed, all of that is what's snuffed out in the life of a child every time that child is aborted. And you don't know what child's been aborted who could cure cancer. You don't know what child's been aborted who could invent some great thing that would just help billions of people around the world. But they don't see it that way, because frankly, the people who are in favor of this stuff don't believe what President Trump said earlier. Let me find this quote. He said, every human soul, born and unborn, is divine, and every human life is made in the holy image of Almighty God, which means that God has imbued that person with gifts and talents and abilities and a future and a hope. But they don't believe any of that. They just believe that that person is nothing but an evolutionary accident. And so if you kill it, what difference does it make, right? I mean, it's just another, you know, as Mao said, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. In fact, I think Stalin famously said, you know, one person's death is a tragedy, but millions are a statistic. And that's the way they think. So, folks, we just have to keep standing up for life, because God said, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Stand by. We'll come right back to the lines in a moment.
There was a woman who came in, and she had a little baby in like a little car seat, and she had like two other children or so. And she says, I need a pregnancy test, and I need to have an abortion.
Greta Henry shares a remarkable story from the Pregnancy Resource Center she facilitates on Focus on the Family Minute.
So she went, had the pregnancy test, it was positive, and we went back and the nurse did the ultrasound, and I happened to be able to be one that was in there to also observe. And when the nurse put the probe on the mama's tummy, behold, there wasn't one but two babies in there.
Oh, man.
And the nurse and I looked at each other, and she got up off the table, went and started talking to the nurse, and said, you know, I can't kill two babies, she said. And so she ended up doing an adoption plan with pastors down in Southern Illinois.
Your local Pregnancy Resource Center is doing amazing work to save babies. Hear more from Greta at familyminute.org.
Audio speed.
Camera speed.
Action.
American Family Studios is made up of a team of producers, directors, and writers.
Austin Brooks, director of American Family Studios.
We use different mediums like animation, film, documentaries, and audio resources to uplift, inspire, and encourage audiences all over the world.
Explore the assortment of resources from American Family Studios at afastore.net.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
J.J. helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
This banquet was our best banquet ever, thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
The Word of God truly comforts, doesn't it? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with the hope of God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, we serve the under-resourced church all over the globe, and that includes those persecuted simply because they believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as I meet with these heroes of the faith, not once do they ask me to pray for an end to their persecution, because they know that God is working through this suffering, He's strengthening their faith, and He's bringing many to Himself. And what they're asking for is the ability to endure, and you do that when you have a Bible. I was in Psalm 139 this morning. It says, Lord, you know all about me. You know when I rise up, when I sit down, everywhere I go, you know everything about me. And I thought, if you're persecuted, you need to be able to read that Bible verse. Amen. Hey, would you learn how to be a blessing in this kingdom work by visiting sendbiblesnow.org? That's sendbiblesnow.org, or call Bible League at 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Let's come right to Deanne in Arkansas, because I want to get your calls in this last segment. Deanne, you're on.
Hi, good morning.
Good. Well, yes, it's afternoon here, but good day.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to share an experience that I had commenting on the comments you made about women who've had abortions. And I was someone who was raised Catholic school, and participated in March for Life, very active in pro-life movement, and this was 37, 38 years ago. And I, as I, in my early 20s, became pregnant, and was with someone who, while we had discussed marriage, did not want to have a baby. I didn't have a really great home life. I didn't have a lot of support. And I made that choice to have an abortion.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm really speaking publicly about it. It destroyed me. It haunts me to this day, and I'm 53 years old. And, you know, I had already only missed two cycles, and the doctor said that it was early. And I come to find out, after I had the abortion, I was just over 4 months pregnant.
Wow.
And when I became a mother, several years later, while I was 6 months pregnant, I was diagnosed with cancer. And they wanted, it was already a stage two, they wanted me to have surgery and have chemo, and said I could not be pregnant while I did that, and encouraged me to terminate the pregnancy. And my husband and I refused. We just had to have faith that we were going to be okay and that the baby would be okay. And they said that it didn't look good for the baby, but ultimately it was my decision to do that. He was born 2 weeks early, weighing almost 9 pounds, perfectly healthy child, not a thing wrong with him. He's now a married man of God. He's evangelized all over the world. I don't know how many people he's encouraged to come to Jesus' feet.
Amen.
There's a reason for that. That is not a coincidence. So I just want to say that what you said about women who've had abortions, I guarantee you probably 9 out of 10 of them feel exactly the way I do, where we have a very hard time forgiving ourselves for what we did, especially after you become a mother and you know the joy of motherhood and what you ended. It's very, very hard.
Well, Deanne,
I have known women.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Deanne.
I have known women since I had my abortion who have had abortions, and I just treated them with love because I knew what that felt like. Excuse me. I knew the heartache and the nightmares. You have nightmares, and I think a lot of the reactions people have when they see these pictures at pro-life marches and they get angry and they want to tear them up, I think abortion has in some way has touched their lives. And it is just so hard to see that and know that you were a part of that, that you were complicit in that decision.
Well, Deanne, look, let me say this to you. First of all, you know, the Word of God does say, and I know this is not easy, it's not glib, but it does say, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that that applies to abortion as well. And so I know that, you know, even though you've continued to be hard on yourself and feel the guilt, I know you must know that God has forgiven you. And I think sometimes we have to, by faith, just embrace that forgiveness. You know, the Bible says He's cast our sin as far away from us as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers our sin no more. And so, you know, you are cleansed, you are forgiven. But I thank you so much, Deanne, for sharing that story. That's a very, very powerful story, and you're absolutely right. It shows, A, that women can get caught up in this, even though they may have pro-life convictions, but they get pressured and feel this is what they've got to do, and then they suffer the emotional and psychological consequences, and what they need is grace and forgiveness. And God has given you that, and you've got a wonderful son as a result of that second pregnancy that the doctors were telling you to abort. So God bless you, Deanne. That is a wonderful testimony. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Dean in Oklahoma. Dean, welcome. Dean, you are on.
Yeah, my question is, in relationship to this impeachment, when did the former Vice President Biden announce his running in comparison to when President Trump had the phone conversation? Because I heard, and I don't know if I heard right, that he hadn't announced it yet. So I was just curious if you knew the answer to that.
That's a good question. I don't know the exact chronology of that. I think the phone call happened in July. And I think there was discussion of Biden jumping in. Whether he had jumped in at that point or not, I don't know. But I can tell you this, that for the leftist media, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because even if he was simply being talked about as a candidate, they would consider that that's enough to try to hang around the neck of President Trump, that somehow he was trying to stop even someone who wasn't yet in the race but likely would become his opponent. And therefore, he was going to do what he could to undermine him before it was even established. And I say, even if he was in the race, who knows whether he's going to win the nomination? Who knows whether he's going to be the candidate? You mean to tell me President Trump is busy trying to work with some foreign entity with limited ability to do much of anything, and he's going to work with them to try to undermine somebody who he doesn't even know will be a candidate, doesn't even know whether he'll win the nomination? I mean, the whole thing to me is just... it is just so far-fetched. And for these people to be pontificating about the historic nature of this, it's just sickening is what it is. It really is just sickening. But thanks for the call, Dean. We appreciate it. Let's go to Rebecca in Mississippi. Rebecca, welcome. Rebecca, you there?
Hey, yes. I want to just chime in on the pro-life stuff. I am unfortunately post-abortive, and the past couple of years, and you know, more and more stuff is coming to the light about it, and the whole thing is tragic. I had to say that what she said is right. It doesn't go away. The scars are there. I know Jesus forgives us, and yeah. I know we're cleansed of it, but the scars are there, and you can't get it out of your mind. But the sad part is we have to remember is that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual things. And those people that are pushing for this stuff and the doctors that are pushing for it, and they don't see it, because I think God has literally allowed them to be blinded by the greed and the money that they're getting from this. And it's just a really sad situation. And I think the more that this comes to light, more and more people that are Christians are going to realize, hey, there's a lot of us that are still hurting from this, because it's more common than we realize. And I think it's very tragic. I think it's sad. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to move forward. And I'm really proud that so many people are starting to stand up for it more and more every day, because you can't take it back. All we can do is move forward.
God bless you, Rebecca, for being willing to confess that you too are post-abortive. And you're right. I mean, the scars are there. It's just like any other kind of situation. You know, I've got scars from my life before coming to Jesus Christ. The scars don't go away. We just have to trust God for the healing. You know, the other thing that I want to mention here is we need to remember this. We need to remember this, that you mothers out there listening right now, or people that you know who've got hoodwinked into abortion and now living in regret, but you're saved, you know Jesus, you're going to see your child. You are going to be reunited with your child. Because I believe that that child from the moment of conception was in God's hands. And the fact that human beings came along and decided that they were going to snuff that child's physical life out didn't mean that that child's spiritual life ended. And I believe that that child went to heaven and continued to develop, and you will meet that child on the other side. I believe that with all my heart. So there will be a great reunion, folks. And that ought to give us a great deal of hope. You know, Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Okay, let's go to Doug in Georgia. We're getting so close to the end, but Doug, we can get you in. Doug, you're welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you, Bishop?
I'm blessed, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I just want to encourage those that are had abortions. My wife, before I met and married her, had 6 abortions. And she sat on her bed one night and cried out to God for forgiveness. And God is a redeemer, and he redeemed her in that. And before I married my wife, even though she had 6 abortions, she went on. God gave them all back to her, and she gave birth to 6 children.
Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Doug, God bless you. I'll tell you, folks, this is, you know, we conservatives, we Bible-believing Christians are accused of hatred, but the fact of the matter is we love people. We love these women. We want the very best that God has for them. We know abortion is not that. It's self-destructive, but we love them. And so thank you for that testimony, Doug. God bless you and your wife. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, in heaven, you're going to ultimately be reunited with all 12. Amen. All right, let's go to Kirk in Arkansas. Kirk, you got about 30, 45 seconds, Kirk, but you're on.
All right. The only thing I got to say is about Planned Parenthood getting into the elections, spending $47 million. They're taxpayer funded. How can they do that?
You know, they develop political action committees and other means of funneling money. So they know how to navigate the law and to get what they want to get done. But you're right, Kirk. I mean, they should not be getting a dime of taxpayer money. And I refuse to accept the fact that the blood of unborn children has to be on my hands as a taxpayer so that Planned Parenthood can continue this murderous rampage through our culture. Margaret Sanger was a racist and a killer, as far as I'm concerned, and we should not be honoring her legacy at all. Thank you all so much, folks. The March for Life, the president attended and spoke. It's an historic day. Listen, enjoy your weekend. Remember, if you're here in Virginia, I'll be at church on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, 943 Canal Drive. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.